Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're all about real news and great conversation. We are going to get to the real news of the day, which is Donald Trump now is a convicted felon. He will appeal, but today and in 10 days when he is sworn into office, Donald Trump will be the first U.S. president sworn into office that is a convicted felon. And he is today the first president, former president of the United States, ever convicted of a felony. It is historic. And we will talk about the sentencing hearing that occurred earlier this morning. Again, my thanks to Cardi for getting all that sound ready. But before we get there, and as place setter for that, I wanted to review what was really notable to me in 2024 in the law, as your friendly lawyer lady on the radio. So we've been talking about the Chevron doctrine and net neutrality. And those are technical sounding things, but they have very, very meaningful impacts on your quality of life, on your family, on your kids. If you missed any of that, go check it out on Civic Media's YouTube channel or at The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the civicmedia.us/shows website, or of course on Apple Pods or Spotify. We also are aware that there were a ton of decisions in state courts and in federal courts about medication abortion, about IVF, about transgender rights, all kinds of them. And we could detail what all of those things may say or what they mean and the technicalities of those decisions. And while it appears that the United States Supreme Court is poised to continue to permit medication abortion, mifepristone, to be available to people. By the way, what is that? What's that thing that they're reviewing with the medication, abortion, and mifepristone? Oh yeah, it's a regulation. We don't need to go that deep, because the big picture is very clear. And that is, for anyone who is not Christian, not white, not male, there is now hundreds of cases proceeding at all levels of our court system trying to deny rights to people based on their gender, on their race, on their country of origin, their immigration status. That's where we're at. That's the big takeaway. And courts are entertaining these things. In other words, we're at a point where in this country, in the last, I don't know, since maybe about approximately 2017 in January, when Donald Trump took office the first time, rights are being taken away from people because of who they are. That, my friends, is an enormous takeaway from what we're seeing in the law. And those efforts have been turbocharged, and they will continue to be turbocharged. And by the way, when we talk about Title IX and access to education and educational funding, access to healthcare and your right to self-determine, what does all of that rely on? Please, I hope you're all yelling at your radios, your streaming devices. Relies on our regulatory system. So all this, my friends, ties together. What else ties together? What else, Maggie, is in this big meta picture? The other thing that's in this big high-level picture is the absolute unacceptable concept that the United States Supreme Court, and by extension, other courts, are somehow themselves, the judges and justices that occupy those chairs, that put on those robes, that legislatures elected by people, by citizens, cannot legislate and compel judges and especially the justices of the Supreme Court to act in an ethical and above board manner. The very public's faith that our legal system will at least attempt to be fair and unbiased and objective, and that our judges will act in ways that help lift up and support that ideal, has been shaken to its very foundation this year, again and again and again. Is this a bleak picture? It is a bit. Now, don't worry. I'm going to give you some good news here. But just to drive this point home, here are a few things to consider. Of course, we had the constant stream of investigative reporting revealing gift after gift after gift after gift that was undisclosed, trip after trip, for Justices Thomas and Alito. We had Justice Alito flying basically Donald Trump supporting flags in front of his houses and then blaming his wife for it and acting like, oh, I don't know, that's pro-Trump? What are you talking about? Ridiculousness. So we have all it, but those are just the details. That's the manifestation of it. And the courts have an opportunity to self-regulate. So the question should be, the courts, seeing that public confidence in the judicial system is under attack, of course, in part credit to Donald Trump, who attacked the integrity of the justice system yet again this morning. But the courts, observing the public polling that shows Democrat or Republican, people do not trust our legal system. You would think that the reaction to that would be to acknowledge the issue, to engage meaningfully in self-regulating, to try to restore some public faith in our legal system. Well, you'd be wrong. The United States Judicial Conference Committee on Financial Disclosure issued a rule earlier, just before year's end, I think. And they now changed the rule. And the new rule says that U.S. Supreme Court justices and other Article III federal judges do not have to publicly disclose when they dine or stay at someone's personal residence, even if that residence, which is supposed to be a personal residence, is owned by a business entity. You all should be saying, like, say what now? First of all, I don't know if it can be a personal residence if a business owns it. Like, what? I don't, weird. Yeah, that's the new rule. And by the way, here's a sampling of such residences that we know, given ProPublica's investigative reporting, that Justice Clarence Thomas stayed at. Okay, so this is known, past, it already happened. These are residences that Justice Thomas stayed at, and the beneficial owners of these residences were people with matters pending before the Supreme Court. You know, what you would call a freaking conflict of interest that undermines the public's trust and faith in an independent, objective, fair legal system. The Mill Creek Farm, he did this multiple years. It's owned by CFH Mill Creek Company, LP, located in East Texas. There's a very complicated ownership structure, but eventually it all ties up to Harlan Crow, who had matters before the court. Camp Topridge did this on multiple years, over multiple years on multiple occasions, owned by Topridge Holdings LLC, located in upstate New York. Guess who owns that? Harlan Crow. He also stayed at the Michaela Rose, which is owned by Crow Holdings LLC. It's a boat, by the way. Docked who knows where now. Yeah, also owned by Harlan Crow. Now, under these new rules, don't even have to mention that. Transparency, you say? Accountability, conservatives cry? the actual actions of the judiciary say the exact opposite. Terrible. That's all going to be out of public view now. That's the judiciary itself saying, nope, we're not gonna do anything about these ethical lapses. Your next question should be, well, aren't there three branches of government, Maggie? Shouldn't Congress be able to legislate and compel? Compel these kinds of disclosures. You would tend to think so, but guess what? Justice Samuel Alito has gone on the record this year saying that Congress lacks the constitutional authority to enact a binding code of ethics that would apply to the Supreme Court of the United States. So, yeah, you can't legislate me. I just won't abide by any ethics rules. And the rules that we do have are suggestions subject to my interpretation. And how dare you question my ethics? Yeah. And last, but surely not least, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court every year publishes a year-end annual report. And you would think after this year of scandal after scandal after scandal, absolutely nosediving public faith in the courts, that Justice Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, might take a moment to acknowledge that they've got a wee bit of a credibility problem. Oh, folks, you'd be wrong. In his annual report, while acknowledging that, of course, public criticism of the courts is to be expected and it's healthy in a democracy, he then criticized the criticizers, making no distinctions between people like Donald Trump, who whip up the masses to actually level death threats against people who work in the court system, like, you know, court reporters, bailiffs, and those kinds of folks, as well as the very judges themselves. Makes no distinction between that and those that criticize the absolute, abject, there is no bottom, complete lack of any ethical code for Supreme Court justices. Because, folks, it ain't even apples to apples. Those things ain't even both fruits. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that from Chief Justice Roberts. Thanks, Muchum. I'm glad you're on it, Chief Justice. Glad you understand you're ultimately responsible and accountable to the American public. Not so much those Supreme Court justices. We come back. I think it's about time, folks. We're going to start getting into Donald Trump's sentencing. After these brief messages, keep it locked. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.